your stars is on the floor. You can't protect the city, man.
Deep cut. Deep cut. Deep cut. Deep cut. Geeks.
Hello, foodies and geeks. I'm Matt Man.
And in case you didn't hear, he's Matt Man and I'm Tommy Two Stars.
And together we are the Deep Fried Geeks. Our weekly podcast, we're talking about food, movies, comics, TV shows, and general geek news. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Betty.
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing quite well.
Feeling good?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
We just got done having a heated debate.
Yeah.
We should have recorded our heated debate.
Why? That wasn't a debate.
You cussed at me a couple times.
I think that you may have cussed some times. I may have broke a table.
I never cuss.
Yeah. We're going to just start lying now.
I never cuss or lie.
Which is weird. I think our talk about putting in bitches in your mouth might say otherwise.
Last week I dropped like 4 F-bombs.
Yeah, exactly. I, like, possessed him with the demon of cursing.
Yes, he did possess me with the demon of cursing. And you showed me my grandmother in hell, and she was like...
Well, I didn't go that far. Like, calm down. What the heck?
I was pulling an exorcist pole out.
I guess so. Can't really follow you on that one.
Anything new since last week happened to you?
Nope.
Nothing new.
Nothing new.
Nothing really too new with me either.
No.
I'm just hanging out. Watched a lot of TV.
Okay. I thought we were talking about things that are new.
That's new, right? Okay. New TV shows.
Oh, all right, sure.
Zoo, season 2. I binged watched that in like 2 days on Netflix.
Okay.
Because, see, I had watched season 1, and then season 2, believe it or not, came out in June. And then, it was over by the end of July, and they already had it on Netflix.
Huh.
Crazy, wow. Right? Super fast.
It's weird how some shows will be, like, on there really quick, and then other shows, like, oh, the season starts next week. Here's the last season.
Yeah. So they expect it was crazy. There must be something in contracts or whatever.
Must be.
So I did that, and then I have had, on Netflix DVD, I've had the Fantastic Four movie for shamefully maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
And I just and you're paying monthly for that. So I've paid probably around like $80 for this Fantastic Four movie.
Just imagine the people who produced it.
And I just haven't been able to bring myself to watch it. And so I watched it last night. Have you watched the new Fantastic Four movie?
Nope.
So I was trying to be hopeful and just saying that people were overly critical and it couldn't have been as bad as people said it was. It's pretty bad.
It's bad.
Pretty bad. There's a lot of cool stuff in it, a lot of neat ideas that were in it, like they had Mr. Fantastic changing his face and stuff.
Yeah,
which I thought was kind of neat.
He can technically do that.
He can do that, but he can do that in the comic. But they didn't show it in the other movies.
They joked at it in one of the second one. I want to say there was a deleted scene where, like, you know, the main movie, he like morphs his chin out to make it look more pronounced. Like, oh, so you want like a man that looks like this, and he pronounces his chin. And there's a deleted scene. He's like, oh, you want a man that looks like this? And they morphs his face to look like Wolverine.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's silly. So that was cool. I thought Thing looked cool. Mm-hmm. They had him working for the army. Like, the whole first act was cool. They had, like, Ben Grimm and Reed Richards as kids.
Yeah.
But that lasted way too long. That was a good 30 minutes of the movie.
Wow.
Okay. They had that. And then they went into them as teenagers. It was just very... It was not Fantastic Four. I think that was my biggest issue. Is that they definitely just drifted way too far from the premise.
Yeah. Well, I knew that going in. Like, there was rumors about that way before the movie came out. That, you know, they were not going anywhere near the source material. And that really cheesed me
off. It basically was one big giant origin movie. That's all it was. It was all origin. Mm-hmm. Like, the final fight... Like, the bad guy... He got introduced. The bad guy was Victor Von Doom.
Right.
So Victor Von Doom traveled over into the alternate dimension with them instead of Sue. And so Victor gets lost in this alternate dimension.
So it's like the negative zone?
It was kind of the negative zone. They called it the zero zone. And it was like an alternate universe. And so, but it was, that's kind of what it felt like, because they were calling it the negative zone. So they did that instead of traveling into outer space. And that's how they got their powers. And so, instead of the solar winds and all that. And so they, Victor falls in a big pit of energy. So then at the end, about the last 30 minutes of the movie is when he comes back. But he's not in a, he basically, the energy turned him into like a volcano man. Like, his whole outside is a big, like, exoskeleton, like, bug shell. And so you can't see his mouth move, and he's got all this power flowing through. And he's got, like, infinite powers. Like, he can do anything. Like, he's draining energy out of people. He's taking their powers. He's, like, making portals. Like, it's just, like... Wow. The second and third act are a giant mess. And it, yeah, it just did not work. So, is it the worst superhero movie ever? Like, a lot of websites are saying, I don't think so.
But
it's not. It's worse than the first Fantastic Four movie. It's worse than Rise of Silver Surfer. But it's not as bad as Catwoman. It's not as bad as Batman and Robin. But it's definitely up there. I have hopes that there is a good Fantastic Four movie out there somewhere, though.
I think they should sell it back. It's going to happen.
They should sell it back.
And then let the magicians at Marvel do it.
Let fans write a script. You know what I mean? Let fans or writers of the comics write a script. And because what you need to grasp... What they need to do is they need to go into the Fantastic Four and screw the origin story. And make that, like... If you want to do the origin, do a couple flashbacks. Other than that, we need to see them in the middle of being Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
5-10 years in, they're already doing it, they're family, they're together, and that's where you start off. And then you can do some flashbacks if you really want to for Origins, but that's what we need to see.
I think that's a good idea, because, I mean, that's working great. Like, if they did, like, a Netflix Fantastic Four, I'd be all into that, because they've done great so far. They just jump right in, and then if you know, some random episodes in, they kind of talk about, you know, how they became this, how this happened. Yeah. I think that'd be a great idea. We already know the origin story. Dag Burnett, Cosmic Storm.
So if you haven't seen the Fantastic Four movie, I guess you don't really need to see it, Tom. You're not really missing a whole lot.
I just want to see like how bad it is.
That should be in the $5 bin sooner or later, I would assume.
Buy one, get one?
Yeah. So, hey, Tom, guess what?
What?
Food, glorious food.
Fried pickles and mustard. that's pretty good, actually.
Thanks. This week, we're going to be talking about appetizers, Tom.
Appetizers.
It's a very, very big, broad spectrum things we could talk about and cover. What's another word for appetizers?
Starters.
Starters, right? Shareables.
Shareables.
Or hors d'oeuvres.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Whores devours ye. Whores devours all my food. So what I call people who eat all the appetizers.
Damn right.
We call them whores devours.
They watch me devour them whores.
I hate eating appetizers of Leviticus because he's a whore and devours all the eps.
Leviticus.
We're going to call them Levitic whores now.
Devours.
We're going to get a divorce from Leviticus because he's a whore.
Sorry, buddy. We don't mean it. We're just joking. Antipasto?
Some appetizers or hors d'oeuvres are served cold. Some are served hot. They may be served at the dinner table as a part of the meal, or they may be served before sitting.
So or if it's like an Italian meal, it's like the 13th or 14th course.
Right. After the soup and the salad.
All the different types of soup, salad.
I always found that interesting, because a couple times with work, we've had like 5-course meals, and a lot of times they'll do that, is they'll do the soup, and then they'll do a salad, and then they'll do the hors d'oeuvres. Or the amuse-bouche.
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 Amusing term, amuse-bouche.
Origins, Tom. A small number of food historians believe that the tradition may have begun in Russia, where small snacks of fish and caviar and meat were common, after long travels. However, it may be the custom origin in China, possibly coming through steppes.
Steppes into Russia.
What's, like the steppes. Is that a...
So it's like there's a lot of agricultural areas in China and Eastern Europe, and so that the steppes are kind of like how everything is laid out there.
Do you have can you eat an amuse-bouche on every step?
Every step.
So that's different, how the
different things. So they just got one plate and they started putting it on and on until they had a sampler platter when they got to the top of the steps.
You need to, I would just eat it as I go because every step I would be out of energy and I'd be like, more food!
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of appetizer. Ooh, another appetizer.
So steps into Russia or Scandinavia, France, and other European countries. The tradition may have reached Italy, Greece, and
the Balkans.
Balkan nations through Russia or Persia.
Mm.
Interesting.
All over the daggum place. All so basically, it's like the Constantine style of meal because that's basically all he went through. Emperor Constantine just took over these areas.
So we should call him Constantines instead of appetizers.
The Roman conquest meal.
I'm gonna conquest these appetizers.
I'm gonna conquer them all.
I'm gonna conquer them. Gonna conquer these whore divorce.
And take them back to be more of my whore to concubines. I mean, that's just the way of the times.
I'm gonna put these whores in my mouth. We'd just start calling it. I'd be like, go to a restaurant.
A really nice restaurant.
We'd like to start with some whores, please.
Big old plate of whores. I'm sorry? You know, your whores for us to devour.
All the whores devourers you got.
They're all up in there. And two natty ices, please.
Pico de Gallo.
Pico de Gallo is a quesadillas. Please. Make a plate of quesadillas.
So, for me, when I think of appetizers, I think two things.
Okay.
The first thing that comes to my mind is New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Right? And then the second thing is like a restaurant. Because a lot of times you're going to eat a thing you call an appetizer is when you're at a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
You're really hungry with some guys drinking some beer and you're going to get a nap and you're all going to snack together.
Right.
And the other time is like parties. When you put like a little snack,
little trays out of various types of food.
And that's what I think of New Year's, because even growing up, like, that's all New Year's was. It would be like a whole bunch of appetizers and then maybe some like sandwich platters.
Yeah, no real main
I'm sure some cultures do New Year's dinners and stuff, but we never did. It was just always party foods because you're watching the big ball drop.
Everybody's drinking and happy and having little
bits. You're eating the whores watching the ball on the TV.
Eating the whores in the ball.
Sorry, okay. And so, what are your... So, I want to talk about first, like, our favorite appetizers to eat on New Year's. So
New Year's specifically?
If you're at, like, parties or New Year's or whatever, what's kind of your go-to thing? For me, one of the first things I think of is my wife, for maybe the past 5 years, at parties makes this thing called a Reuben dip.
A Reuben dip.
And it's, like, corned beef.
Ooh.
And Thousand Island dressing.
Ooh.
And Swiss cheese and sauerkraut.
Oh, sounds amazing.
And it's really
what do you
really
dip
good.
Into it?
Rye bread.
Rye bread? Perfect.
Put it in a little bowl and you dip that in there.
Can we have some now?
So I think about that. We always do shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail.
To
good.
New Year's Eve.
I always love cocktail weenies.
Oh, cocktail weenies
with
are
like
good.
A nice, either like a spicy mustard or a barbecue, something like that.
Do you like just the cut, just the little sausage, or do you like it wrapped in?
Oh,
a blanket?
Oh, pigs in blankets good too.
Yeah,
yeah.
For me, if
it's
in the blanket,
there.
The blanket's got to be small. I don't like the big thick blankets covering my wiener. I like to have my wiener just kind of like a small little wrap around it.
Oh, sorry.
So remember that, Tom.
I remember
when you
that.
Wrap
keep your
wiener for
nice
me.
And loose, yeah. Oh, you heard it here first, folks. So, yes. But I like the fluffy, flaky dough that if they use that for cocktail wieners, that's good, too.
Yeah, but again, it's got to be a thin dough, I think. Well, I mean, you can like however you like it.
Yeah, I don't like my.
You like regular mustard on them, or I like honey mustard.
Honey mustard's good.
Spicy mustard,
but I like a spicy mustard for that purpose. Like,
how about deli mustard?
Yes, like a brown.
Yeah, the brown deli mustard.
I can go over that.
Some gray poupon.
Because usually I like to stick honey mustard with my chickens. So if there's like chicken pieces of some sort, like if you get the trays from like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
I'll go honey mustard all day, every day.
They usually, I mean, if you think of appetizers chicken, usually it's like chicken wings, right?
Chicken wings, yes. I do love honey mustard chicken wings.
My aunt used to make these little chicken cordon bleu bites.
Ooh.
So it would be like, it would be a little tender, and then she'd like wrap it in.
Like a ham of some sort.
Like ham,
and then
yeah.
put the cheese. So, no.
The cheese was the dip, so then the dip was like a cheese.
Mm, so like it's chicken fondue?
Yep. Or the little ham roll-ups with the cream cheese in them,
mm-hmm.
and the pickle.
Yeah.
So you put pickle down and the cream cheese, and you wrap a ham around it.
I was at someone's house. We were having like a pool party. I'm trying to remember what they made. It had something wrapped around a pickle. I want to say it was like a ham and cream cheese.
Yeah.
With the pickle. That was good.
Those are delicious.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember. It was like a sweet dill pickle.
Not yep,
sweet. Maybe
little
butter,
baby gherkin.
Butter pickle. Yeah, that's
yep,
what it was.
Little baby gherkin.
Oh, it was really good.
Super, super good.
Oh.
Or they'll just put like crackers out and meat and sausage and cheese and stuff mm-hmm. like that too.
I do love a meat and cheese platter.
Now, a question that I have is, you know, is it still called an appetizer?
Uh-huh.
If that's all you're eating.
If you eat as your entree?
Yeah, if you're eating as your entree, you're not eating anything else, can you call it an appetizer?
I guess technically no.
Like, at what point does it just become, like, snacks?
A meal or snack?
Schnacks.
Schnacks.
No. Schnacks.
Schnacks.
Put some schnacks in
my mouth. Do you enjoy the snacks?
I adore those snacks and put the whores in my mouth.
I don't know where you're going.
Me neither, sorry.
Can't follow you on that one.
So you would call it, you say no.
No.
I think you're still going to call it an appetizer.
I'll still call it an appetizer.
I would. Because, who knows, you may be hungry after. Because
yeah.
a lot of times I eat that stuff and I'm still hungry. Like, because I never feel like, if I'm just having appetizers, I never feel like I'm full. I could probably eat 7 appetizers.
I did eat like 60-something like pizza bites.
And you felt full after that, right?
Yeah, it took a while, but I got there.
Like, or if you order a whole nacho by yourself.
Just one nacho?
A whole nachos.
Just one tamale.
A bunch of tamales. We ordered a bunch of tamales at once. So, are there any, like, traditions? So, before we leave the, like, party stuff, are there any traditions you guys have as a family? Like
where we have specific appetizers
you could think of that you have every New Year's? Or
well, not necessarily New Year's, but, like, every Christmas.
Okay.
When I go to my brother-in-law's family's house, there's always, like, different appetizers that they serve every year. So they have like the stuffed peppers, meat and cheese platters, peel and eat shrimp, stuff like that.
Yeah,
we always have that every year, and it's always good.
That's the party where they do the seafood, right?
Yep, crab's legs and burgers and all a bunch of random stuff. It's great.
Past couple years, we have these family friends that we've been inviting to Christmas, and
mm-hmm.
this lady is like, I would call her the queen of appetizers.
Oh, really?
Because we tell her to bring apps, and she just like goes nuts.
Goes all in town. Like, so, I brought another car so I could have more apps.
Like, last year, she brought, like, deep-fried scallops,
because
her husband's a scallop fisherman.
Ooh.
And so they had all these scallops, and so she like, deep-fried them all and brought, like, this dip.
It was going to expire in a few months, so I had to get rid of them.
And then she made this thing she called, like, a volcano nacho.
Okay.
And it was, like, just oozing of cheese. And she brought, like, a fruit, one of the edible arrangement fruit things. And so one year we did a Grinch Christmas thing. Mm-hmm. And she made, like, this amazing guacamole and shaped it in the Grinch face.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And stuff. So do you have anybody, like, at parties that go, like, crazy out of the way to do, like, appetizers or snacks like that? Where they go nuts and...
Nope.
Okay.
I guess I don't go to the right parties, I guess.
Anybody who brings a bunch of whores over?
Whores over? Well, that's
I brought a bunch of whores devourers over, Tammy!
But I asked you to bring food.
I did!
Oh. That's a bunch of ladies.
So, now, going into restaurants of appetizers, you kind of open up a whole new
ballgame.
Ballgame, because it's not just snacks anymore.
No, the snacks are thrown out the window.
Now it's, because you don't really go to a restaurant and they have a cheese and cracker plate.
No, not many.
Some bars, right?
Bars will, yeah. But like an actual, like a sit-down restaurant? Yeah. Not really.
Have you ever had the meat and cheese plates at Ice House?
Heck yeah, I have. Oh, man. It's my favorite.
Awesome. Ice House is a bar in Punta Gorda, Florida, and they have amazing.
Oh, so good. Cheese, they literally have like five different cheeses. They have like a raspberry brie.
Yeah. I think they changed it up a little bit.
So good.
Really? And then they have like two or three different types of meats on it.
They have turkey, ham, and salami, I believe, or some sort of sausage.
And the fruit and cheese one's good too, because they put grapes on there. And
meat and cheese. I ain't got time for fruit.
You like fruit.
I love fruit, but I'm just saying.
Ha! You just said you're a fruit town.
Dang it! I guess that's how it is.
So, if we're listing off appetizers, I think the most common things you see at restaurants, right, are probably like
chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
Sliders.
Mozzarella sticks.
Mozzarella sticks, onion rings.
Garlic mushrooms.
Potato wedges.
Nachos. Cheese fries.
Yeah, I was about to say some sort of fries with cheese.
Yeah.
Certain restaurants fried are not doing like the all-you-can-eat chips and dips.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Chili con queso, chips and salsa, stuff like that. We talked about meat and cheese platters.
Meat and cheese.
A lot of places have the sampler appetizers, too. Deep-fried green beans.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Stuff like that. Tons of
stuff. Sweet potato fries, which are good.
Sweet potato fries. Chicken tenders they'll even have on their appetizers, too.
Boneless wings.
Boneless wings. Fried artichokes.
Oh, those are good.
Or really good. Fried okra. I've seen it places, too. So, when we're talking about appetizers, like, what are some of your kind of... Do you tend to go to, like, the big apps or the smaller ones?
Well, define big and small for the people at home. And kind of me.
I think a big would be... and kind of me. Do you like the big horse or the little horse?
It depends on what I'm in the mood for.
So big would be like the samplers or like the nachos and stuff like that. Do you kind of go to the big kind of plattery things? Or do you stay more to like the little side of the fried
pickles? I'll do like little sides. So maybe do like a couple of little sides.
Okay. So what if you had to pick like... your three favorite apps to kind of eat at restaurants, what would they probably be? Kind of your go-tos?
Like whatever various styles of boneless wings.
Okay.
Do
you get them hot or sweet?
Depends. I usually like to go with the sweeter flavors, not like the traditional buffalo. If I have a choice, a honey barbecue or something on a variation of that.
I usually stick with the buffalo.
Like if I go to a certain chicken place that has buffalo in the name. And their wings are just untamable.
Yes, and you gotta get some wings, right?
So if I get there, I like to go for some Asian Zing style wings.
Okay.
They're good. They have a little bit of spice to them and a little bit of sweetness, and it's good.
That's my favorite sauce at that place, too.
That certain place with the wings that are untamable.
Yeah. okay, so that's one. One of mine's would be fried pickles.
Fried pickles, okay.
I always kind of go for fried pickles.
If I'm in more of like a bar-like setting, then I would love fried pickles.
Okay. So usually you do fried pickles at bars more than restaurants.
Yeah.
Do you like the chips or do you prefer like the spears?
Chips. Better for dipping.
We talked about Ice House once before already, but in my opinion, I think Ice House probably has some of the best fried pickles I've ever had.
Because they have their... the specific fry that they like, or batter that they use.
The beer batter.
Yeah.
Super good. Any of my fried stuff, though, I like light batter, like light kind of crispy.
I agree with you.
Like that.
Not too thick.
And that's what makes their fried stuff so good, is they've got that kind of runny beer batter that doesn't really thicken up too much, and it makes it great. Okay, so I named one for me. What would be another one for you?
Two for me. Some sort of like cheesy fry kind of platter.
Okay.
Where it's like, you know, like melted cheese over a plate of fries with bacon bits, stuff like that.
Okay, like chili cheese fries or
something like
bacon
that,
cheese, stuff like that.
Especially like chilies is
some kind
Texas
of starch
cheese
or
fries
cheese on them. They're good.
So good. I love that.
Yeah, those are chili. You can't beat chili cheese fries or fries or cheese on them or some kind of starch or cheese on them. Those are pretty amazing. I love me some fried artichokes.
Yep, those are really good too.
Fried artichokes are pretty good with a nice dip in there. It's pretty awesome.
Dips.
And I love nachos.
Chokes and dips.
Nachos are pretty great. You nachos. Can't really beat nachos as an appetizer either.
It's really, really difficult.
What would your third be, you think?
I like mini burgers, so like sliders.
Oh,
burgers.
Yeah, sliders are great.
They're really good. I could go to town.
Do you like just like the beef sliders, or do you like it when they do the chicken
beef,
sliders and
if
stuff?
I'm gonna choose beef.
Yeah. Did you have the sliders when Arby's was doing those?
Not yet. Are they gone?
I don't know.
I
haven't been to
Arby's
in a while.
I was thinking about that today.
Their sliders were pretty good. Okay. So, if you had to pick, like, the best appetizer you think you've ever had, can you pick an experience?
Yep.
Where you just had an appetizer and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
Okay.
Anytime I go to Chili's, I always get the Texas cheese fries. It's on a skillet, and they put, like, layer it with cheese, bacon bits, and jalapenos. I always pick off the jalapenos first, and I eat them, just like, pop, pop, pop.
Wow.
And I always love doing that, and then I just start pulling the fries off right through the cheese.
I didn't know they had those.
Oh, they're so good.
They sound pretty darn good.
So damn good.
Because
usually when you get to the bottom, it's all that's left is the cheese that's on there, and I'll scrape that last bit of cheese off that skillet, and I eat it.
Where it's almost got the burned kind of thing going on. I love
it's amazing.
Have you ever been to an ale house? Well, and that they have in Florida. So every city have these things called ale houses. So they
no,
have like
I know you're talking
Brandon
about.
Brandon Ale House, Fort Myers Ale House, Sarasota Ale House. And they're kind of like a bar and a pub. They have nachos where all they do is like it's a big plot, like an oven tray of nachos.
Yeah.
And it's just chips. And then they put 50-50 cheese on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put chicken on it.
Mm.
And then they just put like salsa and sour cream all over. And that's all it is. And they're probably one of the best drunk foods, like, ever.
It does sound really good.
So I've had a couple good experiences, like, work. We're going there and then having those. And then other good experiences would be... we didn't talk about this at all. Like, oysters.
Oysters,
I
yes.
love having some oysters for
like
appetizers,
steamed?
Too. No, raw.
Fried? Raw oysters.
Yeah, I'll just throw them. I know you're not a big fan of the raw.
Well, the last time I had them, I just... Ugh.
I love throwing some raw oysters in my mouth. Fried oysters are great, too, but they've got to be done right.
Otherwise, they're too chewy, yeah.
They'll be too chewy or too greasy.
Man.
And you can't... It's hard for places to find that good in between. Places I found in Florida, like Hurricane Charlie's, have really good fried oysters.
Mm-hmm.
Harpoon Harry's, on a good day, they've got good ones, too.
Yeah. Last few times I ate Harpoons, they've been really chewy.
Have they?
Clam strips and stuff. So.
Okay. Because again, you're overcooking it is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing with fried foods and a lot of appetizers. It's once you overcook them, they suck. They're almost inedible. Like when people in places overcook onion rings, it's the same kind of thing. They become too crunchy, too hard. Mozzarella sticks.
Yeah,
you overcook
just
those.
Cheese is like
all
a
the
brick.
Cheese is gone. It's either
melty.
A brick or it explodes, and so you don't have any cheese in it at all.
That burned me.
And it's like that with a lot of fried stuff. French fries are the same way. You can overcook those too. So frying is really kind of an art style.
It is because you can't really gauge when it's done when it's coated in something.
And that's most of the American appetizers.
You're darn right it is. You got deep fried and bacon wrap it.
Oh man.
We haven't even talked about bacon-wrapped appetizers.
We haven't. I went to a restaurant one time where they have bacon as an appetizer.
Just bacon?
Just bacon. You could just order bacon, and it came out, and it was like three ways. Like, it was spicy bacon, regular salty bacon, and then they did sweet bacon. And it came out in like a little cup.
I want you to bring me all the bacon you have in
bring
this
me all the bacon.
I want to edify something. I don't want you to bring me a lot of bacon. I want you to bring me all the bacon.
All the bacon. All the bacon, I'll have all the bacon. All the bacon you have in there.
All the bacon are belong to me.
That was a good geek reference there, Tom.
Darn right.
So, bacon wrapped scallops.
Ooh, that's good.
Right.
Bacon wrapped shrimp. Barbecue bacon wrapped shrimp.
Really
love that.
The place that we talked about a little bit ago with the buffalo in its name.
Yeah, the buffalo
place. For a while,
place.
They had jalapeno poppers.
Oh, I love them too.
But what they did, man, is they cut up bacon pieces.
Yeah.
And they put bacon in the batter.
Ooh.
On That was they were
that
pretty,
would be
they
awesome
were pretty
too.
Good. You add bacon to anything and it makes
you're
it better.
Darn right. You could put bacon in like a cake.
Should try to do bacon mozzarella sticks.
That actually is very practical. I don't know why.
It's a good idea,
it's
right?
Not done.
Probably just need to get a little deep fryer, and we just need to start deep frying.
We do.
Stuff.
Just start experimenting.
Yes. Experiment with the horse devourer.
The horse devouring our science experiment.
I think we found a title for that.
The horse devourer.
Tom, it's about that time.
For me to holler.
Do you have any appetizer memories that you can kind of...
No, you know me. I don't remember anything. I just like eat, and then I pass out.
Okay. Nothing for you that kind of pops up
no
in your
apps
head.
that I've put to my memory.
Well,
sorry.
Like maybe like you're out with a bunch of friends, and you guys got a bunch of apps, and you had fun, good times, or party where you just ate a bunch of apps, and it was awesome, and a lot of fun.
I mean, besides the whole, you know, when we all ate 200 pizza rolls, that was...
Aww.
Does that count?
No, yeah, that can count.
Okay, so there's this one time we all ate 200 pizza rolls.
And we didn't really get to 200.
No, we didn't.
You can find that video on our YouTube page.
I've been trying to find it. I've been meaning to. I'm trying to watch it again.
Yeah, it's on our
YouTube
page.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to look it up.
Deep fried
meats. I was about to say, where can we find that?
I think we only got about 6 videos on there. We need to work on that, too.
We do.
But there are some videos. So that video is on there. You can find that on there. So, for me, I think it goes down to New Year's Eve. I think every New Year's Eve, I've got tons and tons of memories of New Year's
Eve
parties.
3, 2, 1. Wow.
Eating all night long. I think Christmas Eve is a good one too.
Mm-hmm.
And last we had the Christmas party at my house last year, and we had all those apps and stuff too.
I can't remember.
I made the Rudolph noses. Remember that? They were meatballs.
Oh yeah, that huge meatball. Yeah, I remember that.
Big meatballs, and I did the reds, the so bolognese good. Sauce on them.
So good.
So I think what I'm going to do for the Deep Fried Geeks this week, Tom, is I think I'm going to put the Reuben dip recipe on Facebook.
Whoa, that's a bold move.
Boom. So we'll put that Reuben dip recipe on there. And
put it on the Facebook.
If you have any other...
And then you can put it in your mouth.
if you have any appetizer recipes you want to share with us, you could also put that on our Facebook
favorite
page.
Favorite apps.
That would be really cool if you want to share
your
cool
little personal recipes.
Party recipe you got, or for mac and cheese bites, or mozzarella sticks, or dips.
Meats,
chips and dips and
cheeses,
all that stuff, because we are
bacon.
Coming up to party time of the
partying,
year.
Partying.
So you can put that on our Facebook page. You can share a picture of the recipe on our Instagram. You can put a tweet us.
Tweet us.
Send
us meet
a tweet
us.
Of it, too. And all of that's going to be at Deep Fried Geeks is how you're going to find all that.
That's basically, if you know what Deep Fried Geeks are, you know where to find us.
Yes, and you're going to find everything on there, so... Share us your appetizer recipes, send us pictures and stuff. We would love that bunches.
We want to put it in our mouths.
We want to put the whore devours in our mouths.
Devour the whores.
Hey, Tom, guess what?
What?
Geek news!
I can't, I'm so full from the whore devours. I can't, she's going cookie on that. So many
horse divorce. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them released their final trailer.
Their final
this week.
Trailer. No more trailers. That's it. Shut it down.
You put that in your eyes.
We put that in our eyes.
What did you think of it?
It was intense.
Very.
There
intense.
There was a lot going on, which always worries me at first with those type of trailers. I don't want them to spoil too much.
Yes, and I don't. I guess we'll have to wait to see the movie comes out, but. It didn't feel like they spoiled too much because it was very like seizure inducing.
Yeah,
flashes.
There was a lot of things going on of random
boom,
parts.
Boom, boom, boom,
so
and
no,
they're just
like
flashing
one...
a bunch of stuff at you. And that's how the original Harry Potter trailers were too.
Really?
Like, I think so. Some
I
of the,
don't
the,
remember.
The newer ones, like
Deathly
like Hallows. Deathly
Hallows. Yeah, that make yeah, that probably was right.
A lot of people that we didn't know were in it, we found out, right? John Voight is in it.
John Voight's in there.
Ron
Perlman does a voice. Dan Fogler for me.
But Ezra
Miller
is in it.
Yeah. The Flash, he just zooms in, saves the day, because it's in America.
Do you think
Barry, what did you do?
Am I too late? Bruce! Bruce! You were right about him all the time! There's no reason for me to be in this movie! It just makes the plot even more confusing!
It's all about the girl!
Bruce!
It's all save Hermione!
Save Hermione, Bruce! Save her! There's no reason for either of us to be in this plot! Bruce! We're referencing Batman v Superman. Yeah. You should know that if you're listening to this podcast.
I mean, if you haven't seen it by now.
So, did this trailer make you more excited to see
it? It did, actually. It looks like it's really going to be pretty cool, and it still has that Harry Potter feel to it.
It does.
Or there's still the whimsy.
I think the music really helps a lot.
The music is one of those things that pulls you in and brings you back into that universe. So, I think that really is a key component. If they didn't have that same art style, it wouldn't have worked.
The spells look really cool. The wand
using
whipping.
Like no wand or like Colin Farrell's like it's crazy.
Yeah, I think the thing that really hit
Mark, Colin Farrell's in it.
Yeah, I think the thing that really hit he's probably one of the biggest stars in it. I guess
I think so.
Well, I think the thing that hit the mark for the Harry Potter franchise was a lot like Star Wars is the music.
Yeah.
Because any good franchises,
it's got a good score.
It's
to
got
back
a good
it up.
Score. Indiana Jones. Star Wars, Jaws.
Because you can, like, you know, you just do
Harry
the bump.
Potter.
Bump, blah, 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 you'll know what that's from.
Lord of the Rings has a lot of good scores and music in it.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
Bam,
bam, bam, so.
That still only counts as one.
X-Men doesn't really have one.
Not really.
No.
None of the Marvel movies really have, like, an iconic score.
No, not really. Just any of the big, big franchises. Any of the horror with Jason. I can't think of them right now. Yep, Jason, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Friday the 13th.
Any of the big.
You know they're making a Friday the 13th video game?
I read that and it looks pretty amazing.
It looks pretty intense. So it's like it's all multiplayer. And
I cannot play horror.
I would think that would be scary as heck. So unless you're Jason, it's got to be fun as heck.
Yeah, because that's what it is. You're all playing
so everybody's,
kids at the camp, right?
Yeah, and one person plays as Jason and everybody else is the counselors.
That sounds fun, man.
So they're just trying to avoid Jason. And Jason's just like, what am I going to kill you
when
with?
When is that supposed to come out?
Next couple months, I want to say. Well, side,
that'd be a
side
fun
story.
Game to play with a bunch of friends.
I know. All just separate yourselves in different rooms. You just hear each other shouting. No! Go away! Where is he? He's here! Oh my gosh.
So Fantastic Beasts
comes
out in November. So I'm pretty stoked about that movie. I think it's going to be pretty great. I think it's going to be 10 out of 10.
I think it's going to be good. It's definitely going to be a Potter-worthy movie.
I think it might be the best Potter movie yet. You want to know why?
Why?
Because you have no expectations going into it.
That's true.
Because a lot of people, I know you've only seen the movies,
but
a lot of people have expectations from the books going in to see it or what to expect. This is going to be nice as a Potter fan of the books because I'm not going to have expectations and saying, well, they got to do this or they got to do that. If they don't do this, it's going to ruin the movie and da-da-da-da-da. And so that's why I think myself I'm going to enjoy it a little bit more. Because when the last Deathly Hallows movie came out, I literally cussed in the movie theater at a couple parts. I was like, what? Because the whole ending, they ruined from the books completely.
I heard about that,
And so, I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is that's all going to be a giant surprise. And they're not going to be able to disappoint me of saying, well, I wish they would have put that in the movie.
Touché.
Yes. Hey, Tom.
Hey,
did
Matt.
You see the new Doctor Strange posters?
Nope.
They're character posters. They look pretty cool. They have a Doctor Strange one, the villain, Celestius, and then the ancient one, and then his buddy, that the black guy that they have that is buddy in the show. I don't remember his name.
I mean,
they're pretty cool posters. They look very Inception-y.
Okay,
again, still with the whole twisted universe in the back. But they're neat because if you look at them, they're like some, like the ancient one, she's like standing on side of a building.
Yeah.
So you get the twist, but she's not like a straight form. She's literally
she's
like
standing
sideways
like she's standing
poster.
Straight up, but she's like on the twisted part.
So yeah. So they're really cool character posters. And that comes out in November 2. So if you haven't seen those yet, check that out.
So I wonder if they're going to, like, you know, allude to other characters like Clea and Baron Mordo, stuff like that. Because technically, like, he would be a big character. He should be the villain, in my opinion, Baron Mordo. Because he was the apprentice for the Ancient One before Doctor Strange.
I think that's kind of what the premise is. I want to say that the guy that I talked about is... That's the rumor, is he's going to turn into Baron Mordo.
Okay. Good. Don't spoil it, Marvel. Just keep it like that. Like, don't concrete evidence.
There are lots of rumors going around that there's going to be surprise appearances.
It'd be funny if it's like Martin Freeman just shows up.
What? He's in one of the...
Oh, wait, he is in the movie. I forgot. He just plays an American guy.
He is in Doctor Strange, yeah.
Oh, he's in Civil War. Yeah, he's just a random American, like, attorney or something.
I could see him being in Doctor
That'd
Strange.
That'd be funny. They show up like, oh, hello, Doctor. He just walks away.
That would be pretty cool. I'm trying to pull up these posters for you here. They definitely are really cool, but I think there's going to be lots of surprises, and they're already talking about doing a sequel.
Oh, really?
So
I hope these movies just never end. Like, you know, they had their plan until 2020, but now that we're getting close to it, I just hope they just keep going. Just never end it.
Oh, yeah, they're saying now that they have them all kind of played out into the mid-2020s.
Nice.
So they're kind of cool, right? They're all cool, kind of... Okay. That's the guy. Yeah. So that's the guy that I heard was... Oh, he is Baron Mordo. Yeah. So they're kind of doing...
Snap.
So that's kind of what they're doing, is they're going to have him be his...
Maybe before he's the bad guy?
Before he's the bad guy, which I think is a good idea.
That makes sense, because he becomes a bad guy because, like, Stephen Strange overshadows him. And he's like, I have to outmaster Doctor Strange, and that's... kind of what happens, and then he starts becoming evil to one-up him.
Yes. I think you're probably completely right. That's probably kind of how they're going to go. It's kind of going to probably be a jealousy thing, maybe, of like a whole one-up and thing. So check those posters out. They're definitely pretty
cool.
Any
spell you can do, I can do better. Any spell you can do, I can cast it better. No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can, and I'll cast a serpent.
I don't know if you heard this news. Lion King live action movie has been greenlit, and they already announced who the director is going to be.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That's Jon Favreau is going to be the director. If you don't know Jon Favreau, he directed Iron Man
1 and 2.
He directed Jungle Book recently.
Chef. There was like a movie where he's like I think it was called Chef, where he was on a food truck.
Okay.
With his family, like, going to a food truck and striving to survive. It's a really good movie. It was rated really good. He also stars in a lot of the movies he directs, too. Like, he played Happy Hogan in Iron Man 1 and 2.
He did play Happy Hogan, which was kind of cool.
I think he's funny. I think he's a very funny guy, and I like him as an actor and a director.
I kind of felt an accept coming on.
No, sorry. I just had a weird pause.
Did you see... did you see Jungle Book?
No, not yet.
Jungle Book is really well done. In my opinion, if Jungle Book is half as good as...
Lion King is
half as good as Jungle Book, then we're in for a huge
treat. I think it's... Like, Jungle Book is a great... I loved it as a kid growing up. They kind of premiered it at a weird time, so it didn't get as much spotlight as it should have.
Yeah.
But Lion King is a much more loved movie, so I think that's just going to... take off.
You think Lion King is more loved than Jungle Book?
Oh, yeah.
The cartoon?
Oh, yeah. Nowadays, kids be loving
for generations. Lion. Yeah. I think if you talk to 50-year-olds, I think they would say Jungle Book.
The Lion King.
Lion King was
my
a pretty big deal.
My mama loved the Lion King.
Lion King was a pretty big deal. Lion King's my favorite Disney movie.
See?
So they have to do it right, I think, though.
I'm just curious, like, how
some
they're
kind
going to take
it,
because obviously nothing in it is going to be live action. There's no live people in the movie.
Yeah.
So
they would have to add some kind of human element to it, you think.
Like, maybe if everybody was, like, CG, like, mocap.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what
movements.
They did with the new one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I think they did a lot
with
the Jungle
Book.
Yeah,
so you can't really call
Jungle
it live
Book.
Action, because it's all going to be CGI,
It's starting to get to that gray term now. Live action just means, like, not animated, not hand-drawn.
Did you know that Jon Favreau directed Cowboys vs. Aliens too.
I did not.
And actually. Elf as well, which I did not
Elf?
Realize.
Yes, I knew he did Elf.
Yeah. Zathura, he also directed. Daredevil. No, he didn't direct Daredevil.
No, did he? Like Kevin Smith. Well, Kevin Smith, I think, no. produced it.
He was a producer. You know he was in that movie, too, Kevin was?
Yeah, he was like the mortician, or...
Mark Steven Johnson. I don't know why they mentioned...
Jon Favreau?
Maybe he was in it.
I don't remember if he was. It's been a long time since I've seen
I
Ben
Affleck. I don't know
Affleck
why his name came up.
Yeah, Kevin Smith was like the crime scene guy.
Yeah, which is weird because I didn't know
the
guy
who
used to
do autopsy. I forget what they're called.
I'm looking forward to the Lion King movie. They haven't done a release date or anything yet. They just released that they're coming out and Jon Favreau is going to be in it.
Yeah, I want to see like all these labs. So I haven't seen Pete's Dragon yet either. I want to watch Jungle Book. I kind of want to rewatch Maleficent. Like all these Disney.
There's a lot of them I haven't seen. I saw the Snow White one. Snow White and the Huntsman.
That's not Disney, though.
That's not Disney? Mm-mm. Didn't Disney do one?
Not
they did
Snow
a Snow
White
one.
They did Alice in Wonderland, but that's not Snow White, though.
Are you sure they
did? Cinderella,
is
that what you're talking about?
They did a Cinderella one.
I don't think they have done
Snow
White. Because
there were two Snow Whites that came
out. Yeah,
there
was Snow White and then the Snow White and the Huntsman, but neither one of them are Disney.
No, you don't think so?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Do you want to test me again?
I do want to
I
test
shall
you.
Best you again!
I haven't really seen a whole lot of them either.
They're doing really well. Like, they're choosing really appropriate, like, cast members. Not, like, iconic names that do really well. Not just,
yeah.
like, well, this person's, you know, famous, so we're going to throw them in the movie, and they do a really bad job. Like, Angelina Jolie did an awesome job in Maleficent.
Because it gave her a whole backstory,
right?
Right,
that's basically what it was, is Maleficent's origin. And it actually kind of changed the whole story a little bit, too.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because the movie turned out really well anyway.
You're right.
I'm what?
You're right.
Oh.
They have one in the works, though.
Okay. I'm not surprised about that.
Yeah.
So, like, a Seven
they're
Dwarfs.
Come out with
I think what they should do is do a focus on the Seven Dwarfs.
That would be pretty cool.
Instead of Snow White. Like, we know Snow White's
Cast
story.
Warwick Davison.
That would be awesome.
That would be pretty amazing.
Make him Doc.
Oh, that'd be cool. He'd be a good Doc.
I think
man.
He'd be the perfect leader.
I think he would be a perfect Doc. Did you know about a comic convention they had in LA called Stan Lee Kamikaze?
I only recently heard about it.
So they had for years. They've had a Stan Lee Kamikaze convention. They just announced the
as long
other
as
day.
Stan Lee doesn't kill himself.
Why would Stan Lee kill himself?
Kamikaze pilots.
Oh. What are you talking about? They did a whole ceremony celebrating the Comic-Con and releasing the dates and all that and getting ready because it's coming up in the next couple weeks. But they announced that they're changing the name to Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic Convention.
Okay.
And Los Angeles also had named the date of the con every year is October 26th, I think it was. October 28th. It's the weekend they always have the con. LA announced that in Los Angeles, October 28th is official Stan Lee Day.
Excelsior.
So I thought that was kind of cool. I thought that was a nice little thing for him.
That was
for him
cool.
to have his own day. I think they should make it a national holiday.
I agree, 100%.
They should also do a Walt Disney Day, probably, too.
I agree with that, 100%, too.
And then the Marvel Studios came out and said that they already filmed the 4 Stan Lee cameos for the next 4 Marvel movies.
I heard
movies.
That, too. Yeah, he's already done his 4 cameos.
So they're filming them in chunks, I guess, now, which mm-hmm. makes a lot more sense.
I don't want to be mean at all, but who knows if Stan Lee's going to be alive in 6-7 years when the
he's
next 4 movies come out. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking today, too, he's done so many cameos and so much film now.
He's the king of cameos.
He is. Or they could probably even, after he's dead...
Just CGI his face.
CGI him in.
Just like Robert Downey in Civil War.
CGI him in, or recreate it, because they're all so kind of bland and generic.
Yeah.
They could just throw some new clothes on him with the computers.
They could do that. Just give him the right sunglasses.
We could have Stan Lee living immortally in Marvel movies
You're
forever.
Darn right.
How long do you think before they do a Stan Lee like biography movie?
I'm pretty sure they have.
No, like Marvel,
like a
Disney.
Marvel?
Because Disney
oh,
did
like,
the,
I see what you're saying.
Disney
like,
did the Walt Disney thing with Mary Poppins. How long until they do one after Stan and him selling off the movie rights or him building the
characters? I'm bet he's
going
to have to pass
that.
Away first.
Yeah, I think
he'll
have to die first.
Which I'm not saying, die Stanley so we can get a movie.
Die so we can get a Stanley movie.
But I think that's probably would be better taste as like an honored Stanley. We've yeah. made this kind of how he
you
became.
You could call it like Stanley and the True Believers.
The King of the Marvels or the Marvelous Life of Stanley. Yeah.
Excelsior. The Story of Stanley. Boom! Oh! Excelsior, the Story of Stanley.
Yeah, that'd be
look
better.
At that. That's good, right? It's a sexy name right there.
It's gonna put butts in the seats.
Something I thought we also needed to talk about is today is the 29th.
The
Tom,
29th.
Which makes the day that this podcast is dropping will be the 30th.
The 30th.
And also on the 30th, Luke Cage is being
Mother
released
Evan
on
Cage.
Netflix. So technically in 3 hours... Because they always drop it at midnight. We could be watching some Luke Cage
We might watch some Luke Cage. I'm just calling sick. I don't even
care. How excited are you for Luke Cage?
I really am amped. Because, like, the way Netflix has been doing these shows are just awesome.
Super, super good.
Daredevil's awesome. Jessica Jones is really good. Iron Fist, I can't wait for. But now we got some new taste of some Luke Cage.
I heard some rumors that there might be some kind of a couple things with Iron Fist in it, like kind of shout outs or snippets or teasers.
Like just Danny,
Iron Fist,
like
of Danny Rand. Yeah.
Well, the thing I'm curious about is since like all the way they've done these is they've already kind of been in their own world for a little bit, so we already know that Luke Cage is invincible at this point,
right?
Because of Jessica Jones. So what if like. Iron Fist is already Iron Fist, and they take his show to kind of do his origin. I think that'd be pretty sick. Not saying
that would
they should,
be pretty cool,
but that would be pretty neat.
That'd be neat if they introduced him as Iron Fist, maybe the first last three episodes
yeah,
or whatever.
Definitely, I hope Daredevil does a damn cameo in there.
Oh yeah. Well, it's Daredevil. Well, Daredevil 3 is not coming out before Iron Fist.
Nope.
Iron Fist is the next one to come out, isn't
yep,
it?
I believe so. Because yeah. the rumor is they've pushed back Daredevil.
Because I think how it's going is it's going to go this, and then Iron Fist,
and then
Defenders.
And then season 3
and season,
2.
And then season 2 of Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and then Punisher.
Ooh, interesting.
Because Punisher's in production right now, too.
I heard there's also going to be, there was rumors that Punisher was going to make his way to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., too.
Really?
Yeah, like there's some rumors there.
That
too.
Would be really cool.
Some Punisher Ghost Rider action going
have,
right at your face.
Have they had a new episode yet? Of
yes, they had. The newest episode was this week.
Was it good?
It was actually really good.
Still really good. Good.
So they're really starting to amp up the supernatural element.
Okay.
A lot. But they're still kind of making it seem like, you know, maybe it's more scientific based, but they still haven't quite figured it out how yet.
Coulson is probably. No one pushing the scientific.
Not really. Right? It's more Fitz, if anybody.
Oh, yeah. Coulson wouldn't be pushing scientific.
Coulson's still trying to... it's a whole different story. So it's more Fitz is like, you know, it's got to be based in science somehow.
Well, no. It's based on the devil turning him into...
Well, I actually read demon. The backstory on Robbie Reyes, and it didn't really have much to do with the
Mephisto.
Devil.
Mephisto?
No,
oh,
no
okay.
Mephisto was more Johnny Blaze. Like, he sold his soul to Mephisto.
You can't really have a Ghost Rider without Mephisto.
Well, would you like me to explain the origin of Robbie Reyes as a Ghost Rider?
Sure.
So, Robbie Reyes is just a simple mechanic in Los Angeles, takes care of his handicapped brother. You know, he finds this car, he thinks pretty cool car, nice 69 Charger, all soups it up, drives around, starts driving it around street races, comes to find out that there's something wrong with the car. So he's driving around in a street race one night, he's being followed by someone, he thought it's the cops, he tries to outrun them. He gets cornered, he gets out of the car, he's like, alright, I'm sorry, I was speeding. Turns out a bunch of gangbangers, they shoot him, and they kill him dead in the alleyway. Well, what's wrong with the car was it was actually possessed by a spirit, and the spirit then jumps from the car into Robbie Reyes, and he wakes up, and he just, like, hunts them down, turns into Spirit of Vengeance, and he kills them all. But it turns out that this spirit wasn't, like, a demon or anything, it was a spirit of, like, a serial killer.
Ooh!
Yeah. So actually, while he's doing all this, the spirit's making him go kill bad people, but it's just a serial killer who wants to kill again.
Holy cow.
Johnny Blaze finds out about this. He's like, there's another Ghost Rider, not in my neck of the woods. So he drives to L.A., and he throws like a little penance stare on this demon, and it converts him back to Robbie Reyes for a little bit. And so Robbie like puts him in his place, like, look, we're only going to kill people who deserves it. And so the spirit's like, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So did you read all this on the Wikipedia?
The Marvel Wiki, yeah.
Ah, that's pretty cool. That is a pretty neat story. I think that'd be cool if they introduced Johnny Blaze. And
I think they should. I thought Johnny Blaze was a pretty cool character.
As long as it's not Nick Cage.
When you're right.
That's pretty cool.
There's no time!
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to set fire to the Declaration of Independence.
We have to burn it. That's the only way. I'm really looking forward to Luke Cage. I'm not going to stay up to midnight to watch it.
Me neither. I got to be up at like 5.
In the morning. But... And then also, Tom, this is going to make you feel a little old. It's the 20th anniversary of the N64.
My goodness, 20 years, how they have doth flown by.
Crazy, right?
I know. It
makes me feel really, really old.
I remember as a kid, like, going to, like, Blockbuster and renting an N64 just so I could play it, because I didn't have one.
That was, yeah, I think we did that, too, with my dad. Because we didn't have our own, we would go to my dad's house on the weekends. And so when we would go, he finally ended up buying our own system because he figured it'd be cheaper for to keep at his house. But we would rent systems, so we'd go and we'd rent the system for the weekend and play it and take it back. And then finally, he ended up buying us one for his house. But N64, in my opinion, is
that was like the epitome of home consoles.
I think N64 is the best.
It beat PlayStation outright because I love the PlayStation. It had many great games. But the N64, like, nailed the home video game market. You didn't want to go to the arcade. You wanted to stay home, play Mario Kart, Mario Party, Smash Brothers, Donkey Kong, GoldenEye. So many good games.
The Mario game.
The Mario universe was, like, at its peak during N64.
Star Fox.
Do a barrel roll.
So much good stuff on that system, man.
So many memories.
Thanks
for the memories.
And I think we talked about this a couple months ago, is that they're going to be releasing...
The NES?
The NES, small version of it. So hopefully, eventually they'll be doing that for N64 as well. That'd be awesome.
They should just keep doing it for every console. That'd
be really cool.
Get the NES, get the Super Nintendo.
And just download all the games on there?
I mean, basically, it's just probably like a little emulator box. That's all it is.
How much would you pay for that? How much would you pay
for an
N64? For a little N64 with all the N64 games in the emulator and you can...
All of them? That's going to be pretty... That's a lot, though. Because even like the NES thing only has like 50
Top
games
20.
On it. Top 20 games? I'd pay $100 for that. $50, $100.
I might even pay $150, $200 maybe.
Really?
I think I would buy that before I bought
the NES,
like an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4.
Interesting.
I'm not a fan of a lot of those.
I was actually reading an article, not like a couple days ago, that there's supposedly someone accidentally leaked on Xbox One an NES emulator. So
that's
like
cool.
For a day or like an hour or so, you could download this emulator and play like ROM files.
That's cool.
But they had to take it off because...
Yeah, all the rights.
The playing... Well, not that, but just playing ROM file. The emulator itself, there's nothing wrong, but...
Okay.
Since the emulator's only purpose is to play these ROM files, which were technically illegal copies of the games...
Okay.
That's why they had to take it off because...
Oh, that makes sense.
They were pirated versions of video games.
I'm not a big fan of the newer games. They're just too complicated. Like, even that Lord of the Rings game you let me borrow, Shadow of Mordor or whatever, played it for maybe 45 minutes, and I was like, it's just too much.
It's
many.
A fun game, though.
It is a very fun game, but it's just, I don't know, they're just too complicated for me, I think.
Should I let you play Batman Arkham Knight, then?
You should, I think.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I own...
It's complicated, too.
Is it? I own Arkham.
Not really, but I mean...
What was the other Arkham game?
City? Asylum?
No.
Origins?
Origins. I own that, and I only played that for like 45 minutes, too, and I just couldn't really get into that either.
How could you not get into
those
games? Those games are amazing!
I prefer the game that I can just turn on for half an hour and just play a little.
There's no such thing like that anymore.
I know, there's
all these
not.
Games have
That's
all these
why
involved
I like playing
stories.
All the old school games. I like to, Tom, I like to sit down and play these games and put some Horrors Devourers in my
Horrors
mouth.
Devourers and... Hours and hours of Horrors Devours.
Hours and hours of Horrors Devours. Keep calm
and geek out.